started the Torah Manchester, Yudalev Tishri, Toshim Pei Hei, Rav Shimon Kaplan.
Erstens a gut kvittel. Shul bizeiche. So a gebench to you with alle brachas. We're only a few hours after Yom Kippur. And I think probably we still feel ringing in our ears the final screaming of the Ne'ilah Hashem Hu Aleikim. That is what has been chosen to be the final phrase of the Yom Kippur davening. What is the message, Hashem Hu Aleikim? Also, we're now Mimochashim Kippurim, still thinking about Yom Kippur, hopefully, and we're heading towards the Yontov of Sukkos. I want to explain a connection between Yom Kippur, Yom Niroim, and Sukkos. We once, a few years ago, explained our Pia Shah Shuvah. I want to explain a different feeling that I had this year of why Pesach, about why Yom Niroim, is connected to Sukkos. It has the same theme. Yesterday, by Ne'ilah, we all noticed that we don't say the Al-Chait that we say by the rest of the Tfilas. And the Svarim write, there's no time by Ne'ilah to say all the Al-Chaits. What's very interesting is that we say twice a type of Al-Chait. Leman Nechtal Ma'oshik Yodeinu. We should withhold from doing an Aveira with our hands. And the Svarim write, this is Meramaz on Gneva. And the question is, everyone's saying it, is this the final Al-Chait that we say in Yom Kippur, Ma'oshik Yodeinu? Why Chazal Kivea? This has been such an important phrase to say twice in the Ne'ilah davening, in the Choshes, the Tfilah of the year.
Huh?
Yeah. I'll tell you a word for Chedush Harim. If you mazber it with a moshel, we can understand. In America, maybe in England as well, there are very big companies, powerful companies, who they look through the schools, and if they see a promising student with tremendous capabilities, they tell the student, we're willing to invest in you, pay your entire tuition in America, it's a lot of money, room and bar and board, we'll give you pocket money, spending money, until you get your diploma, and then you'll come and work for us for at least 10 years. I mean, many students in America, they take loans, they find it difficult to sponsor themselves or get sponsors to take a degree. So you have companies that go around and look for the very bright students, very high IQ level, and they invest in them, and they make them sign a contract, and they're going to come and work for them for 10 years when they graduate. So you have a person who signs on the dotted line, and the company invests in this person for many, many years. And eventually he graduates and gets a diploma, he's qualified, he comes to work as an engineer for this big company. And he spends the whole day on the computer playing computer games. What has this guy done wrong? This guy, in essence, is a ganav. He's not paying back the investment that this company made in him. They invest in this person, they expect him to work for the firm, but he's not doing anything for the firm. It's a ganav. Says the Chiddush Harim, this is maybe why Chazal chose this phrase as being the last and final al-chait and message for us, because it's so powerful and it encompasses everything. This, the way the Chiddushim explains, encompasses everything that we'd like to achieve in the coming year. Says the Chiddushim, Rebbeinu Shleim invested that in us a lot more than money. Gives a body, a neshama, chelik elakam yamal, talents, abilities, capabilities, material possessions. HaKadosh has invested in every one of us. And he wants us to use this to serve him. We come back, when we come to the Ila, we look back at the past year and we think, Shmuel has invested so much in us. Are we repaying that investment? We might be using it for the competition company, the Yetzirah, the Satan. So we promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Pshat. That's the Gnev we're talking about. Not utilizing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use it. Not returning the investment that he has, that he gave us. I want to use this theme to explain what's Pshat in the Hashem Hu Elokim, the connection between Yom Neroim and Sukkos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was invested in Klal Yisrael in another way as well. We learn the Svarim, the Tifa Svarim. We see very clearly in the Hashem numerous times HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a Teva, laws of physics, laws of nature, and really everything works according to the laws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu laid down at the beginning of creation. Even 1,000 years, being 6,000 and 7,000, has to take 1,000 years for the world to be rebuilt. It's going to be done in a natural way, state in Svarim. The Shinu in Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pre-programmed at the beginning of creation. Tanai Osa Maisa Bereshis, the Kriyas Yamsuf, and various other Shinuim that we had. B'Shas Klasha went out to Mitzrayim. Kiviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested a lot to make these miraculous miracles B'Shas Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Ten Makas, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the climax of those Nisim, and everything went with it. You look at Medroshim, it's unreal what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. And that is really an investment HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in us. And the Rabban in Parshas Bo writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested that investment in us to be Meshana the Teva in a Meshunadig way in order for us to understand, Dr. Rabban, that when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world and making these miraculous miracles, that's there for us to understand that everything happening in the world is Kuloi Nisim, as Ramban writes. Everything's orchestrated from above. The only exception is Bechiras Odom. I want to speak about an Akuda before we answer our original questions, which I feel we need to be aware of. Could be I'm speaking for myself. I don't know what your thoughts and the way. Could I'm really speaking for myself. The last few weeks, especially 2 weeks ago, we all heard Motzei Shabbos, and Israelis, they bombed a building in Beirut, and they killed their arch enemy, this Haman of our generation. A Russia Marusha. You can compare it to Hitler and all the other great Rishi Yisrael throughout the ages. And they bombed him and killed him in a bunker beneath a building. And I'll tell you, the first instance when you hear such a thing, I speak for myself, you feel like, oh, Gewaldig. Israelis know what they're doing. Sudden pride. They're in control. They're getting there. And a few weeks beforehand, with the walkie-talkies and the pagers, chafra of a fella. And we tend to feel a certain element of security in their ability and their intelligence and their professionalism in staving off and attacking Habola Orgom. But we think about it a little bit deeper and think about the way the Torah wants us to think about it, we've got to reset that feeling. Chazal tell us, Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah, everybody goes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibnei Maroim. Kol boy oilam. Chazal tell us it means everybody, every human being, every creature. If Nazrena was killed on that Shabbos, he was destined to die on that Shabbos, already from last Rosh Hashanah. If they wouldn't have bombed him, they wouldn't know where he was, we're going to believe Avodah Shleim would have dropped dead. A rock could have fallen off a building. Shmuel has got many ways to do it. And he was going to die in that very spot as well. Chazal tells us, Ragloid Va'inish, in Ra'evin lay, the feet of a person taken to the place where he's going to point with the Malach HaMavis. Shmuel has a story I once said, I once saw actually. A businessman came out of his office in Manhattan and he brushed past a cloaked figure, completely cloaked, and he looked who this was, and to his horror it was the Malach HaMavis. And he saw a very surprised look on the Malach HaMavis' face. He wasn't sure the Malach HaMavis had such a surprise, but he got a shock of his life. His heart almost stopped beating and he rushed to the airport, took the first flight out of JFK to the Far East. He arrived there, he hired a plane to take him up into mountainous region. He wants to escape the Malach HaMavis. When he arrives in this little airport somewhere in the mountains, he pays a guy to take him to the remotest part of that area, and he trudges along for hours till he comes to a small cave. And huffing and puffing and tired, he enters that small cave, and standing there is the Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis says to him, I saw yesterday in Manhattan, I was surprised to see you, I knew I had an appointment in this very cave at this very moment. Actually, I saw that story in the Goyshe source once. But it's true. Ragloid Va'injina Ravenle. We got to know, without any doubt in our minds whatsoever, that he was supposed to be killed in that very spot. He was supposed to die or be killed Shechinik. His life had come to an end. We get carried away. I'm speaking the first instance I also feel. We get carried away by this intelligence and the precision bombing and the sophisticated machinery used to carry out that killing. And we tend maybe to forget this Ramban. There's no teva min hagash shalaylam. It's all the Rebbeinu shalaylam. It's the Rebbeinu shalaylam alein. I once heard from Matzol Solomon Zechayin Rocha. He said, even when we see a koich beitzim yodi, we see events that seem to be completely devoid of Akshvochus yad in the olam hashekel, the way it's portrayed in the newspapers. If you look carefully and scrutinize what happened, Akshvochu leaves his stamp. Sagrois Apella, Nazrena was killed on Chof Hei El. Shabbos Chof Hei El. Chof Hei El is the Yom of Brias Olam. That's the world was created. The world was created on that day. In the Svarim right, and we all know every Yontov, every Zman, the Ashpor comes down again. Whether it's Pesach, it's Gula, Sukkos, Shavuos, Matan Torah. We state in Svarim a Chof Hei El every year. The world got this extra chiddush, and the world was created for the righteous, those who do what Hashem wants. The righteous justified the creation of the world. The Mishnah writes by Sorah Amorais, Halim Hamam Echad. The wicked, they make the world a waste of time, futile, empty, without objective. Rebbeinu Shloilam had this man's soul taken away on that day. Because that day is the Yom of Chiddush Olam. And the world's not created for such people. And I heard someone point out, in Pasuk state, Bavoyd Rishoyim Rino, when a Rosha dies, it's Rino. There's a Simcha. So David HaMelech gezogt. The Mashal explains, Bimfoyle Yivcha, when your enemies fall, Altisma does not apply to people like Nazrela or Haman or Hitler Machshemoy. Bavoid Rishoyim Rina. That was only a few hours before he said the Shmoyel Arina Blatfila. We some of Foshm explain this Meslichas is a Zman Rina as well. It's a Simcha. We're able to cleanse ourselves from our Averis. It's a Schol of the Yom Neroim. Bavoid Rishoyim Rina, and we said that night, some of us next morning, Lishmar Rina Velatvila. What does it mean, Hashem Hu Alikim? Reb Chaim Volozhin Ruach Chaim writes, It's really Hashem who Elohim. The word Elohim there is Choyl. I think Reb Chaim Velozhin. And the taich of the pasuk is that all the koiches in the Bria is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It might be orchestrated by different people through their Bechira, their intelligence, their sophisticated machinery. He's actually speaking about Kishuv, magic, and various other koiches that they had in previous days. But he gives it in a general term. Any power in the Bria is the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Hu Elohim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the power of all the powers in the world. There are no powers in the world at all. There are no powers in the world. Hashem Hu Elohim. That is the message of Rosh Hashanah Malchus. That's the avoid of the Ikka avoid of Rosh Hashanah Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're controlling the world. That's the avoid of Rosh Hashanah. And the final cry of Yom Kippur, Hashem Hu Elohim. That's the danger when we exit to Yom Kippur. We're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yosei Korov. We might start thinking things happen in the world independent from the Rebbeinu Shloim Chas V'Shalom. And human beings have the ability to do things and make things happen. And after we've screamed that message Hashem Hu Elohim, we come to Yontov of Sukkos. And the Yontov of Sukkos, it's same with Diras Kva, but Shem with Diras Arai. Go out of the Diras Kva and go live in the Diras Arai. Which maybe is a powerful message. We live in our Diras Kva, we feel protected with a proper roof. The Torah is telling us, same with Diras Kva, but Shem with Diras Arai. The message is, it's no difference where we're living, it's no difference what protection we've got. There's only one protection, the Rebbeinu Shloim. Just like it's a Zechel and a Kovet of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is protecting Klal Yisrael from any dangers. It was a spiritual protection. The message of the Sukkah is, Idiris Arai, Nochel Idiris Kva. As we're going to look at the miracles that took place, we're going to look at it as miracles in the last few days. How many missiles have come into Eretz Yisrael. Every missile's dangerous. The Iron Dome and various other methods can miss, they can malfunction, they don't have to work. We're going to look at it. It's a Rebbeinu Shloim. About we can explain it, it can be explained with Derech HaTeva. We're going to know the Rebbeinu Shloim and Rachmanus, and every mitzvah, and every omen yesh merabo, every word of Torah, that is the protection of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in us when he made the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was an investment. It was Mashana the Teva for us. The return on that investment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is to work on this area. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moiden, a person is moiden everything happening. He writes very, very sharply, we're going to work on this. A person's got no chelik in Torah's Moshe, at Shinam, until he believes, this is really very hard in the present day situation. With sophisticated machinery and good intelligence, we have to work on this and overcome that feeling of Koich Beit Miyodi, which the leaders of Yisrael, they don't, maybe don't know better, but that's what they speak. We're going to get them, we're going to retaliate, we're going to go and get our enemies. That message shouldn't percolate, shouldn't become part of our way of thinking. We mustn't let that affect us in any way. That's the avoider. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a message last year, which maybe we've forgotten a little bit. October the 7th, Simchas Torah, Hashem lo yishma'ir shov shokat shoyma. You look at all this sophisticated machinery protecting the border. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yishma'ir shov shokat shoyma. I think this is really a very important chelek of what we're meant to take out to Yom Neroim. We start off with Malchus. There's Hashem Elohim. That's the final cry of Yom Kippur. Reb Chaim Velozhin Taish Hashem Elohim. That is the message for us in these months when we can get carried away, Chas V'Shalom. And that's the message of Sukkos, Adiras Arai. We protect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No chelik, Adiras Kva, Adiras Arai. We'll just finish off with a different inyan, a different akuda. A feeling, again, I'm speaking for myself, often used to feel, maybe not the first Shacharis after Yom Kippur, but as the week continues, as time continues, suddenly are davening the way we used to daven, and that feeling in Yom Kippur that we're going to really change and daven with a Ra'elachkeit doesn't seem to keep us throughout the year. And we sometimes think to ourselves, so the whole Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah is really a bluff, it's not really me. It's not really me, it's just a momentary inspiration. And even sometimes, a day after Yom Kippur, I feel, oh no, I said Al-Chet for not having said brachas properly, am I saying brachas properly? And I feel, one second, was it real? Or was it just a bluff? Have you seen a gewaltige Meisa? It's a mordige chizik for us. There's a Baal Tfila in Eretz Yisrael, a very inspiring Baal Tfila, who had a beautiful voice and a tremendous feeling in his davening. And he davened for this killer for a number of years, until one day he said, that's it. He's not davening anymore. They were very upset, and they couldn't get a reason out of him. But after a lot of pestering, they managed to find, they managed again to give them a reason. And he said as follows, in Tehillim state, capital Kofalev, Doivish Shkorim, Lo Yikoin, a person who speaks Sheker shouldn't stand in front of me. He said, when I daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I daven with feeling, I cry sometimes, but I know that's not really me. That's not the way I daven the rest of the year. I don't daven that feeling and that gefil and those tears. So I've come to realization that maybe I shouldn't be davening for the Amud. I'm a Doivish Shkorim. I'm saying lies. It's not really me. I'm aspiring people. I'm not really what I seem to be when I daven for the Amud on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Rav heard about this, and he said to the Baal Tfila, let's go and ask Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Let's ask Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Let's see what he says. You got a feeling that you can't daven for the Amud, you Doivish Shkorim. We want you to daven for the Amud. I don't know who's right. I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. Let's go to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. They came to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he enlightened them on something which is such a chizuk for us. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said to the Rav and this chazan, this Baal Tfila, I want to tell you, a yid, the main essence is in the Shoma. On Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah, that's who we really are. That's what we really are. The rest of the year we're shaking the emes, but Avdei Azman, as the Rambam writes, we forget the truth, we're distracted. We're so busy. We engulf the Olam HaSheker. We can't concentrate and focus. That is not who we really are. Who we really are is the person that we are in Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah. Of course, we want to be like that the whole year, and we're trying. After Yom Kippur, we definitely want to try. At least work in one little area. The Chofetz Chaim says if we can't work in everything at once, at least every Yom Kippur, make one step forward in one little area, and then build on that. As you get used to it, it's not an assignment anymore. But he said to Shlomo Zalman, the Baal Tfila can daven every year. He shouldn't worry about the rest of the year. That's not really him. The real person is that. Baal Tfila on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Somebody get chizik for us. We shouldn't feel, oh, the whole thing was a game. It wasn't real. It was real. Now we have to make sure that it stays real and not allow ourselves to be engulfed and distracted and be shaykh emes b'havli azman, which is the challenge on a daily basis. I say a story, probably not a true story, about a yid that's a soil to make a zoo. Make a balos and make a zoo. So he started going to the costs of making a zoo. He realized a leopard, a lion, a tiger, they're very expensive animals, $20,000, $30,000 each. And they started seeing how much it costs to feed them. It's a massive investment. Till the return on investment might take 7 years, might not be worthwhile. He wasn't sure what to do. But I eat things out of the box. Thought of a brainwave. He'll buy costumes, but expensive costumes, a few hundred dollars each costume, $500 a costume, it's proper investment, expensive costumes of all different animals. He'll hire people, that's all about Clonim, Honshu Satan, cheap hourly rate, and he'll employ them to don these costumes, and he told them, you can sleep the whole day, lions anyhow, sleep 18 hours a day, you can relax, just really every few minutes get up and walk around, give a growling, yeah, he told them exactly what to do, and he said, 6 o'clock we close, you go for supper, I don't give you any food. So he opened the zoo. For a few months it worked very, very well, and he's telling a nice profit, because the investment was a small investment. Taking Pesach about another morning, the oil might go to the zoo. The zoo was packed. Came 6 o'clock, and they're still packed with people. There's people watching the lion in their cage. And one lion says to the other lion, Yankel, it's already 6 o'clock, I'm getting hungry. I've got to go home soon. And he sees the leopard saying to the other leopard, hey, this place doesn't clear out soon, we'll miss Skia. What's going on here? Eichewald. So people listening run to the zookeeper, what's going on here? I thought it's a zoo. Is it all these animals? I said, yeah, I bought animals as cubs, I've nurtured them. I said, what are you talking about? He said, drive a cop. If the animals are speaking today, they're not animals. They're human beings inside costumes. Your mama, she tricked us. Sechad HaMoshel, for our point, the whole year round, we're wearing a costume. Wearing a costume, Sechad HaMoshel, that's not really us. On Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah, that's where we reveal who we are. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't try and carry on where we got to yesterday, and we shouldn't try our best to improve. We're not saying that we're allowed to go back to old ways, but we shouldn't look at the Yom Neroim as being a bluff. That's who we really are, and we're that way the whole year. We're just wearing a costume, but we really want, we can behave in a manner that we really intended to behave during the Yom Neroim, throughout the rest of the year. So come on, to get chizik for us. We shouldn't feel after the Yom Neroim, maybe even after Sukkot, that we go back to old ways, that it was a dream, it wasn't real, it was real. The rest of the year were not real, and we have to try and make it real as best as we can. Yeah, so we spoke about this separate chizik, and the first Indian we spoke about is a very important Indian, why the final cry in Kippur is Hashem Olehim. It's Hashem Olehim. That is the message of the Yom Neroim, B'yosei Korov, the message of Malchus, and that's the same message as the Yontov of Sukkos. We eat in our sukkah, and we know the sukkah is a flimsy covering, it needs to drizzle a little bit, rain a little bit, we're not comfortable, it comes straight through the roof, through the schach. We're going to understand this flimsy covering is no less of a protection than a strong covering, whether it's the roof of a house, or the bunker, or all the other protections that we have here, or we have in Eretz Yisrael. There's no difference to Rabbi Shlomo. It's all about shared exactly what's going to happen to us, and that's the message of Sukkos, and that's the Hemshech of the Yom Neroim, that we are beyond Hashem. We must work not to get carried away with the feelings that definitely that can creep into us of the Koich Veitzim Yodi, the right way to look at it, the right Ashkofa, as the Ramchal writes very clearly in Kof Chav Dalet in Tilim, he writes that the Yishmol is going to enable us to bring Mashiach, because we're going to dive into Akadosh Baruch Hu through the tzoros they're going to give us b'achas hayomim. They are here to stay until Mashiach comes. As they state in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Tana, on the word Olav and Brisbane Absorim, Aleim ben David Yitzmach, Mashiach is coming through Yishmol. Ramchal writes it in Eitz Chaim and Kof Chav Dalet, Yishma Keil, that's why it's called Yishmol. Yishmol will listen to us, our tefillahs, through Yishmol, they're here to stay until Mashiach comes. And he writes there in that same shtickle that the void of God is Yishmol, and we can really feel it now, is Einon L'Shoyn L'Avin Shemaim. When he wrote it so many years ago, the Ramchal a few hundred years ago, he wrote the Baruch HaKodesh. At that time, when people read it that time, they didn't realize what the test will be in having this mindset, Einon L'Shoyn L'Avin Shemaim. And it's a very real test because of the sophisticated weaponry and intelligence and what's going on around and the support from America. That is the Nisoyan of this Avoid Ein Nishoyan. He writes, that is what's going to bring Mashiach. This Avoid of Ein Nishoyan Mishra Shemaim. Good to share.